When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Are you ready? It's Saturday morning at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon and powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance.
The golf doctor, Charlie Epps, is in. The man who coaches PGA stud, Angel Cabrera.
Follow the golf doctor on Twitter, at the golf underscore doctor.
Doctor, the golf doctor is in on Yahoo Sports Radio right now. With Charlie Epps, here's your host from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio. It's our very own scratch golfer, sort of.
Hey, I should have stayed home and played with myself.
John Granato.
Good Saturday morning, everybody. John Granato. U.S. Open Saturday, and it is already underway. If you didn't know it, Fox Sports 1 has the coverage, and they're already out there as guys are completing the second round of play after a rain-filled Thursday. And there to tell us all about it, the man who puts his name on the show, Charlie Epps, with us this morning, live from Oakmont. What's going on, Charlie?
Good morning, John. Yes, it's hard to believe the second round is starting on Saturday and not starting on Friday, but weather has controlled what they can do up here. But I'm going to start off with a quote. Playing in the U.S. Open is not a privilege. It's a penance. Jim Murphy, he's a writer for the L.A. Times. Conditions are really, really hard in the U.S. Open. And then you add the rain. And these guys have really had to put up with a lot. And Bill's got an opinion on what a U.S. Open is, and I thought his definition was pretty darn good.
Let's bring him in here. Billy Harmon, the man who also puts his name on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Billy, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. I always looked at the U.S. Open as an emotional marathon.
There you go.
Golf wasn't meant to be fair, and the U.S. Open in some regards is not fair. And so I think the person that is able to control their emotions, kind of stay the course, keep your nose down and just keep grinding, eventually will be the ones that have a chance at the end. And then, of course, you're going to have to strike the ball very well, too, as Charlie would know because he's been there. But by and large, you're going to be tested every possible way, emotionally, physically, and that's what the U.S. Open does. And I think that's why I enjoy watching this. I'm not one of these guys that says 20 under par is fun in a major. I like this. I much prefer this, where par is the standard of excellence.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah. It looks brutal out there at times, Charlie, but did that rain help at all? And now that these greens are going to be drying out, it's going to be even harder this weekend?
Well, one way to describe the Oakmont green is with the word trickle. And what that is when you think the ball has stopped, it's going to trickle two or three, four more feet. And already this morning, I was standing on the ninth green and the putting green, and the trickle was there. So I would say by mid-morning, these greens are going to be really not close to the speed they wanted, but real close. They mow them and they double cut them and then they roll them. And then they're built on the side of a hill, and there's so much gravity in all these greens from back to front, you know, side from left to right, right to left, that the speed is incredible. You're going to see some things happen today that, like Billy says, it's not a fair game. But, Bill, you know, your definition of emotional marathon, look at all these names. Lucas Glover, Justin Rose, Ernie Els, Retief Goosen, Webb Simpson, Roy McIlroy, Jeff Ogilvy, and Angel Cabrera are all former U.S. Open winners, and it looks like they could miss the cut. That's just incredible. Guys that have all the right, you know, tools, and they can't get the job done.
Well, Charlie, as you know, you're there, but just watching it on TV, there's such a fine line. And a yard here and a yard there is sometimes the difference between a birdie and a double bogey. And you can hit good shots and make the double bogey, and that's just the way it is. So it looks like your guys should make the cut for sure. I would think it's six over. They're projecting seven over as the cut. But watching it on TV at the moment, it doesn't look like a breath of air. And we're seeing some pretty good golf.
Yeah, no, it's perfect conditions. And with the fairways being moist, they play wider. And so how about Dustin Johnson playing yesterday, 36 holes in one day, and only has one bogey? I mean, that to me is just a mind-blowing statistic.
If he would have putted, he'd been leading by 10.
Unbelievable, yes, but it's just
yeah, he's playing that good.
Hard to make putts.
He is some kind of talented. So long, and I don't know, is it, Charlie, his length? I mean, we see Bubba up there. Of course, we see a lot of long hitters that have struggled as well. You got to be not only long but straight. Big advantage. He really struggled. Dustin did on that 318-yard par 4 where he hits iron off the tee, hit it in the hazard, was able to hit it out of there. But he had a long, looked like about an 8 or 9 footer for par, made it. And is length an advantage out there with Dustin?
Yes, sure it is. I think he's going into those greens with a lot shorter club, and he can hit the fairways. He's just an exceptional straight driver, at least the first 36 holes. And in his past, you know, he should have won the U.S. or could have won the U.S. Open last year. He could have won it at Pebble Beach. So his straightness is an advantage. And then with the length, it is. Because you look at the top of the leaderboard, who else are you going to pick other than him?
Yeah, no, I mean, he is some kind of special when he's got it going on, no question about it. And then there's the rough. We just saw Jordan hitting out of it. Boy, his ball just disappeared after that second shot, Bill. You saw that. And it just looks so penal. It looks like the ball, it gets enwrapped in that grass once it gets in that tough rough.
Yeah, I don't know what he was trying to do on his second shot, because that was way offline for the I don't know if he was trying to get to the green or not, but it's so imperative, and Charlie knows this. If you hit it in the rough one time on a hole at the U.S. Open, you don't want to hit it in there again. And once you put it in there the second time, that's when trouble really, really starts.
You better believe it. I did a little trial with Ankel, and he was in the primary rough cut, and we found the ball. He could get with it with a 54-degree wedge, and he really hit it well. And it went 100 yards. And that's a man that has 90 miles an hour club head speed. So you can't expect to hit it any further than that when it's down in that rough. And it's at least four inches. And by Sunday, it's going to be probably 5 inches the way it's growing. So we'll see.
Well, that rain might soften up those greens a little bit for a little while. It sure is going to make that rough that much tougher, huh, if they're not cutting it. Charlie and Billy here with you on a U.S. Open Saturday morning, in which the guys are finishing up their second. Guys are just getting started on their second rounds here. A lot of them haven't even teed off for their second rounds yet. So we got a long day. Hey, I don't mind this Fox coverage. Bill, you're watching it wall to wall, I know, because you just can't get enough. With Curtis out there, I mean, it seems like they've improved it some this year.
I'd say they've improved dramatically over last year, and I've enjoyed the coverage. They've showed a lot of golf. Do have quite a few analysts, but by and large, I've enjoyed it. And the beauty of television is you can always turn the sound down.
that is true.
If you don't want to listen to them, you just turn it down and you watch.
Well, that's the difference between this show and that. And that.
That's right.
You turn this down and you ain't listening to anything.
That's correct.
That's right. So you're absolutely right. How about the way Lee Westwood is playing this week, huh?
Lee is, in a good spot. He's in a good spot mentally. He's you know, have gotten through a ugly divorce over the last couple of years, and I think he's back on his game again, and he can get the job done. Lee Westwood is a straight driver of the golf all in long. So, but I watched Jim Furyk play the last two rounds, and you talk about a guy that knows how to play golf. Oh my God, he hit some of the best looking iron shots. And he's got control of his game, so watch out for him, too.
That was one of Billy's picks this week, was Jim Furyk.
He doesn't get enough credit, I think, for being a marvelous player.
Yeah, no, especially at the U.S. Open. You know, Furyk, we always say it every year, well, why didn't I think Furyk could do this? Because he's always up there, it seems, every year at the U.S. Open. Wow, that was a bunker shot right there. Oh, my goodness. All right, we are going to take a quick one right here on the Charlie Apps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Apps Golf Hour, featuring Bill Harmon on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Powered by Insperity. Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
Give it to me. All right, back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. I am in our Quicken Loans studios here in Houston. Charlie's at Oakmont. Billy Harmon here as well on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and internationalproam.com. Charlie?
That's exactly right, Bill. I mean, John, I just spoke to Bill Sitton, who is the director of the event, and he says everything is going very well for this year's event in December in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, a 72-hole pro-am, one professional and four amateurs. You play five rounds of golf. You stay at the beautiful Casa Magna Marriott right on the ocean, and which has a beautiful swimming pool, but it's got a beautiful beach and all the amenities, great service, great people. The tournament has 27 years history of just great success. The weather is perfect, and Puerto Vallarta is a beautiful city, very safe. So I just want to encourage all my friends and listeners who want to reward themselves with a great golf trip at the end of the year, first week in December, log on to PuertoVallartaProAm.com, get all the information, sign up, and I'll buy you your first margarita in Mexico in December.
How about that? That's internationalproam.com. So how'd Ankel shoots 70-76, Charlie? Not too bad.
Well, he had a great first round. Just like everybody else, he fought very hard. And then he had to finish, yesterday. And he played good the first eight holes. And then he might start gotten a little tired. And, made four bogeys coming in. And then we didn't finish last night, so I had to get up at 5:30 this morning and go out and finish and play the ninth hole, Bill. How about playing that hole for your last hole of the morning? And he didn't make par. So, he's sitting at six. We hope we make the cut because, he went at five over. I think the scores are going to be a little better than that. But you still have a chance if you're playing on the weekend.
Billy, you there?
Yeah, I think any time you can get to the weekend in the U.S. Open, you're 67 or 8 on Saturday away from kind of getting yourself in the fray. Young Mr. Landry here is backed up considerably. I believe he's now 4 over through 8. And he's a couple bad swings away from maybe having to think about the cut coming in, Joey. I know that kind of sounds crazy, but he's under the gun. He's never been under pressure like this. I thought it was interesting. I was reading something where he's talking about winning the tournament. His best finish in a tour event is 40th. So I appreciate his confidence, but there's a difference between reality and fantasy land, I think, So, but he looks like a heck of a nice player, but it'll be very interesting to see how he handles the next 10 holes because he's really started to leak oil here.
Can you believe Daniel Summerhayes, second round, 60, and Louis Oosthuizen as well, both
that's
guys
right.
Shooting 65. Wow, Charlie. Can you believe that after watching what Anka was doing yesterday?
Louis does it with a four putt. he had eight birdies, but on the 17th hole, he drove it. He had a four putt and still shot 65. So you can get hot, and you get on top of the wave. You can make some birdies out here, and they did that, both he and Daniel Summerhays. So, and then, you know, you look at how quickly the lead goes away from the guy that Billy was talking about. So everybody's, you know, it's like walking on a tight rope up on the Empire State Building. You're just afraid you're going to fall off any time.
Well, and was there an advantage playing early yesterday after the rains on Thursday, Charlie? The greens were a little bit more receptive?
Sure. But I think it's all going to work out. In the, you know, the first round, which was on Thursday, the guys started and stopped three times, and the conditions were really, really trying. And so then the guys that didn't play on Thursday, we had to play 36 yesterday, and the course was a little more benign in the morning. There's no doubt about that. But then, you know, you got that fatigue factor, and I don't care who you are, you're going to get tired walking in this mud out here in some of the fairway and some of the rough. So I don't know if one side of the draw is going to have that much of an advantage over the other. Bill, do you think that that's the case?
No, I really don't think so, and it doesn't appear to be playing out that way. There's a lot of decent scores here already this morning. So it looks to me that if you play well, Charlie, the course will reward you. So it's not any way, shape, or form unfair. It's rewarding all good shots and penalizing bad shots, I think, which is exactly what they want.
That's what happens at a U.S. Open. I don't think there's any question about that. And Sergio up there, guys, we see Lee Westwood. We see Sergio. Would it be kind of neat? Would it not bring, you know, I mean, how long those guys have been out there finally to get rewarded?
Well, sure.
The thing about those three, Johnson, Westwood, and Garcia, is they're all maybe at best average short game players. So they're ball strikers extraordinaire, and I would say, Charlie, the ball striker probably will have the advantage this weekend. What do you think?
Well, I think we get that from Angel Cabrera, who won the last time it was held here in 2007. He's a great ball striker, great iron player, and he won the event. So Sergio and they can win it. They're 37, and I guess Lee is 40. So, yeah, it rewards good ball striking because it really penalizes a poor golf shot.
So many years of competing against those guys at the Ryder Cup. But I think the U.S., I think the fans there would appreciate all the work that those guys have put in and really enjoy watching a guy who's been around for a long time finally getting paid off with a major. I do.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
And it doesn't look like Phil is going to be rewarded this week, Bill. And he's been playing so well. You know, maybe, you know, he could still be around, but it looked like he just didn't have it the first couple of days here.
Yeah, you know, he was going along pretty good there, and he started kind of flaming iron shots out. He actually hit a lot of good drives and tee shots, and then he just kind of lost it with his iron game. Seven has an outside chance, I guess, of making it. But, you know, if he doesn't make this cut, he'll have missed the cut in the Masters, the Players, and the U.S. Open. And for a guy who's has played actually pretty good this year, I'm sure that's be a very big disappointment for him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, even without, I saw an article this week about, well, even if Phil doesn't get that U.S. Open for the career slam, it's okay. He was still Phil, and what a great career he had. I know he wants to cap it off, and he's been oh so close, and it would be wonderful to see, but it certainly is not a blemish on that record, Charlie.
No, not at all. 40 tour events and Masters and PGA, and he got his British. So, you know, there's Arnold Palmer, Tom Watson. Those guys never made the career Grand Slam, but and are Hall of Famers. So Phil is a Hall of Famer, and he's fun to watch. He made some shots yesterday. I mean, the four he made on the par 3 eighth hole was unbelievable. I mean, it was in the hazard, over the green, in the bunker, and chipped out, then finally made it. So, I mean, he's all over the golf course.
Yeah, but he's still filling. I know the people would love to see him coming down the stretch on Sunday afternoon. maybe it doesn't look like it's to be this week, though. All right, 25 past on the Charlie F's Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right, second half action here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance, and the Southern Texas PGA. How about getting a lesson out there, Charlie?
See, that's good.
Charlie, ¿no quieres hablar en la radio?
En la radio, sí, señor.
Okay, pues, hablas de Southern Texas PGA.
The Southern Texas PGA and its 500 and plus members, he or she are great teachers, great organizers of golf events. The summer is going to be filled with junior golf. Get your kids involved in the game. If you have any questions, call your local PGA golf professional. He or she will get you involved, or log on to southerntexaspga.com, and there the website will provide you all the information how you can register your kids for the summer camps. There'll be golf tournaments every week, just fun for everybody. And then they also, we give out scholarships for needy kids that want to go to college, and they're good students and they have golf in their life. So anyway, log on to Southern Texas PGA or call your local golf professional. He or she will get you involved, and you'll have golf that'll drive you nuts.
There you go. Right. That'll drive you nuts. Charlie Epps and Billy Harmon with us here. And Bill, watching this, how important is accuracy on your approach shots? We just saw Bryson DeChambeau on the wrong side of the hole, Jordan on the correct side, and look at the difference in those. Jordan walks away with the birdie, and Bryson doesn't.
Yeah, and I think that second hole, though, is, I don't know, I think some people would say it's borderline a little bit rinky-dink, that green, but you just really have to try to figure out a way almost just to get the ball in the green, don't you, Charlie?
Wow, Bill, it really goes uphill a lot, and then they require you to hit it. They have a couple of shells that they put the pin on. And if you're not plus or minus 1 yard with accuracy, you can hit it. The ball could stop, you know, at be 5 feet from the pin and then up off the green. I mean, just with a little spin, you can spin it off the green. And rinky-dink is a good word. I would, it's 380 yards long, and they hit 6 irons off the tee, and then they hit 8 irons into the green, and they make a lot of bogeys.
A lot of bogeys on that hole, and on a 380-yard hole, which is nothing for these guys. They're on number three now, Jordan and DeChambeau. And DeChambeau just went to the church pews. Any church pew stories, Bill, over the years at Oakmont?
You know, I only caddied in a couple tournaments there, and I don't have any recollection of Jay Haas sitting them in the church pews. I have kind of limited experience at Oakmont. So, Charlie, I would imagine, has seen a lot more golf there than I have.
Charlie?
But, it's nothing that, you know, it's just very penal. And you chip out, you can't go for the green when you're playing number three. And then you come back to number four, which is a par five going down the hill. And they're on that green, that fairway, also to the left. And the guys just, you know, chip out. And although I saw one of the players got lucky and his ball stayed, I think it was Jordan Spieth, stayed in the grass in the bunker, and he was able to get it on the green. But they're beautiful, but I don't know of any catastrophe in the church pews.
Yeah, would you rather certainly be to the right, not in the pews themselves, or you know, and have a bunker shot. If you can get in that long, you'd rather be in the long grass than in one of those pews, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's pretty much unplayable because the lifts are so high if you get into that bunker.
No.
It's more intimidating than anything.
An interesting write by Kevin Van Valkenburg this week, an ESPN writer. He says, we're at a point where driving distance has become a joke, and he was following Dustin around, and at 600-yard par 5, he said Dustin's right in front of the green in 2, and you think, well, that's just amazing, yet it's kind of sad in a way that the golf ball has not been regulated in any way, shape, or form, and because of that, it's really making golf courses submit to these guys and their distance. Bill, any thoughts on the golf ball and maybe the PGA or USGA doing something about it?
I think it's too late to roll it back. I think they could have done that years ago. The fact of the matter is Dustin Johnson is kind of a freaky athlete. He's got quite a body. Probably the best driver of the ball I've seen in many, many years. I don't see how they can roll the ball back. I really don't.
But
even with that, I mean, 400 is just leading the tournament, so they're
That's
hitting.
Correct.
You know, you're hitting shorter distances, but they've lengthened some of the tees to offset some of that. But that par five, that 670, it plays downhill, downwind, and the fairways are quicker than most greens out here. I mean, the fairways are absolutely perfect, and they're getting a lot of run out. They're not getting any run out playing up number 9. They're playing 9. It's 480, and they're going in there with 4 iron. So I think too much is overblown with the golf ball. 400 is still leading.
Yeah. No, in this tournament, right. But you see Jason Day, you want to talk about long and straight. And I guess if you hit it long and straight, you've got an advantage, right?
And these guys are so strong now. I mean, Jason Day is – and the other – guy that I've been watching this week, Adam Scott, I mean, they look like linebackers that are very supple, and they're creating, you know, 125 miles an hour club head speed. So, I mean, even if the golf ball is long, it's the speed at which these guys swing the club that's really incredible. Maybe they should make a play with a sledgehammer, Bill.
Yeah, we're watching DeChambeau here kind of chipping out of the church pews, Charlie. He drove it up against one of the lips there, and he just had to kind of pitch it out 20, 30 yards. So church pews got him on number 3. But the distance is just phenomenal. I don't know how to say it any other way. I don't think I've ever seen anybody, John and Charlie, drive the ball the way Dustin Johnson did yesterday. I've never seen a guy hit it that far and that straight. You know, if he would have putted pretty good, he'd be up by 6 or 7 shots. He really would be.
Yeah. And maybe that's the difference there for him. Look at Rory, guys, and this is looks like a typical Rory tournament. He has one bad round, and then he turns into Rory and puts his cape on, and he just looks great. He's already 2 under today. He's got a couple of birdies to start the round, and he's just looking like Rory again. If he could just get that bad round out of him, then he'd be competing every week.
Well, why do you think that is, Bill? Why is, you know, certain guys just can't get started, and Rory's one of them?
Well, I think he's a free swinger, Charlie, and when free swingers are on, they look to be unbeatable. But when they're off, they tend to hit a lot of wayward shots, and you know, basically that's what Rory is. He's a full bore guy. He drives it almost everywhere. And when he's on, he looks unbeatable. But when he starts hitting it sideways, then he becomes somewhat ordinary. And I don't know why, but in the last couple of years, it just seems like his putting is strained. He just doesn't look like a good putter. He doesn't look natural, looks contrived. Doesn't seem to putt as well since he bulked up like that. Would you agree with that, Charlie?
You better believe it. His putting stroke has changed because his body has changed. And this is his 8th U.S. Open at this young age. Can you believe that? He's played in 8 U.S. Opens, so only won one. But yes, I think his exercise routine has changed his touch around the greens, and they've got to watch that.
One guy who probably not going to be around. We'll find out. We'll see this weekend. But what's happened with Ricky Fowler? One of the best players in the world, and he's just falling apart this year. We'll talk about that on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. While Ricky just can't seem to put it together this year, We'll talk about that and a lot more. We got one segment to go on this U.S. Open edition of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour,
featuring Bill Harmon
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Powered by Insperity.
Insperity, inspiring small business performance. Once again with the Golf Doctor, here's your host, John Granato.
All right. Man, Lee Westwood has taken the lead. Birdie putt, and it is in. And he's alone atop the leaderboard as we speak. And Bryson DeChambeau, when last we left you, had to chip out sideways out of the church pews, and he made par. Guys, what are Billy, we'll start with you. An unorthodox swing. We don't see the guys, you know, most guys look fluid, and he just goes about it a little bit differently. What are you expecting out of Bryson DeChambeau?
I think he's going to be a good player for a long time. He seems to have wonderful passion for the game. He has his own swing, but I like that. I like people who develop their own style, create their own stubbornness about how they do it. So I don't have a problem whatsoever with his methodology and what he's doing. I like the fact, and I think Charlie will agree with this, very rarely do we see young people own their swings these days. They're always trying different methods and this and that can be kind of troublesome. So I actually think that he has a very, very bright future. He's got a couple kicks in the belly here early on in his career, but that's okay. And he's come back and played well this week, and he's, you know, in an all-star pairing this week, and he's asserting himself very well. So I think Bryson DeChambeau, when he gets comfortable and figures all the ins and outs of the tour, I think he'll be a good player for a long time.
I love him. I've talked to him on the putting green, and you watch him, and he just can't get enough of the game. And he's the mad scientist, and he's good. He's good for the game. But if you look at some of the top players playing this week, Dustin Johnson, Sergio Garcia, Jim Furyk, Bubba Watson, and Shane Lowry, they all have different swings. They're all individual swings. They don't get to where you're a sugar, you're trying to create certain positions. You got to let the swing go. And that's what, Bubba Watson does. And Bubba could, he could surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I'll tell you, he's playing beautifully today, Charlie. I don't know if you've been watching it on TV. He's missed a bunch of very makeable putts from tee to green. Bubba has been very similar this morning to what Dustin Johnson was yesterday, don't you think, John?
Yeah, absolutely. Looks great. But missing those putts, and you guys know, and boy, do they look some of them just look so treacherous, barely touching the ball. And like you said, that trickle, I saw Jordan yesterday. He was going to mark his ball, and he took about 5 or 6 seconds before he marked it because it looked like it was still moving. And that was as he, after his approach shot. So it can be treacherous out there. You brought up somebody during the break, Bill, Adam Scott, and whether or not he can compete this week.
Well, he's hitting the ball beautifully, but Adam Scott, once again, it's interesting. The leaderboard right now is filled with great ball strikers who aren't really putting great this week, but yet they're performing very well. Westwood's making a lot of putts. But as of right now, this is turning into a ball strikers event, it looks like to me.
Yeah. Charlie?
Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead. What did you think?
Well, no, ball strikers, you look at the guys that have won the Open at Oakmont, and with Cabrera and Ernie Els and Jack Nicklaus, those guys, and Hogan, that's exactly right. It's a golf strikers golf course, because if you're not hitting it quite well, the golf course will really mess with your mind and mess up your golf swing. So it's going to be a fun weekend to watch, see who comes out Sunday afternoon. But the golf course is they're really proud of it. It's the ninth time that an Open has been contested at Oakmont, and the members are very proud of it, and they keep it, pristine all the time. So my hat's off to the members at Oakmont for keeping such a tradition alive.
All right, so here we are, And I had a couple more questions, but we're running out of time here, guys. First, Jason Day shoots 76-69. 5 over, is he still in it quickly, Bill?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
But do you see that, Charlie? You see Jason Day making a run?
Sure. When you can see Oosthuizen has 8 birdies, an aggressive player like Jason Day, he can get on top of the wave, so can Rory. So they can make a run, and they did it last year. Oosthuizen, shot 29 at Bethpage. Where were they play last year? Up in Seattle?
Yeah.
Johnny Miller won here when he shot 63 the last round. He brought it back from 6 shots back. So anybody can win on the weekend.
Who do you like this week, Charlie?
Adam Scott.
You like Adam Scott to win it? Bill?
Yes, sir.
I like Dustin Johnson.
You like Dustin Johnson. You think he's going to finish. You know what? It's all about that final round. It's all about that back nine, Bill. Will he keep it together?
Well, I say he will. I think he's playing so well that he's actually kept it together quite well emotionally, considering all the putts he's missed the first 2 rounds. I think he's kept his composure very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he keeps coming back.
He does. I'm going to go with Bubba. I think Bubba's going to win it this week. He's playing, hitting the ball beautifully, and I think Bubba's going to finish him off. It'll be if it's Dustin and Bubba coming down the stretch, boy, that'll be some, and Adam Scott in it, that'll be some kind of fun, some good players. Just saw Ricky, 8 over, guys. What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on with him in big tournaments this year?
Well, I don't know. I was talking to Butch last week, and he said Ricky's been playing so good in practice. When he's back home and he's in the Bahamas, he's shooting 61 and 2 and 3 every single day. But, sometimes, Charlie, these young players get a lot of pressure on them. And, he had those 4 great majors a couple of years ago, and everybody's assuming that that's automatic. We know that it is not automatic.
All right, guys, we're done. So appreciate you. You guys have a great U.S. Open weekend. Happy Father's Day to both of you as well.
You too, John.